This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, October 30th, 2008.
Oh, I know. It's like you have a test on Tuesday.
Oh, you are so
wrong. All right. Hi, everyone. Calling this meeting to order. It's 4:47 p.m. on October 30th, 2008. The clerk, please call the roll.
Present.
Unexcused.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Excuse.
Here.
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 Jump.
Here. Excuse.
Here. Not here.
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 You gotta stick them on your teeth if you can have like a pen.
Here.
She's taking a picture.
What?
I feel like she's too immature.
We're good.
All set? Thank you. First item of business on the agenda, approval of the minutes for October 23rd, 2008. Again, they were sent electronically. We're not printing them anymore.
Call for acclamation.
We're going to call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Second.
I have one dissent. In the minutes, it says rep next to something. I said, can we change that to reprimand?
All right. It was called for acclamation. After that change, there was a second. Is there any dissent? All right. The minutes have been approved for October 23rd, 2008. At this point, we'll have my open microphone. Any community members in the audience that would like to address the student assembly on any issue of concern not on the agenda? All righty. Moving on. Announcements and reports. First update. We have a Gorge Safety Committee update by Representative Craig.
So as I sent out in everyone's mailbox, on Monday we held our first official Gorge Safety meeting. It was a very productive organizational meeting. We were able to invite a few members from Friends of the Gorge, and we spoke also with some individuals, one from our communications department, as well as an individual from the Tohono Plantation, and someone in natural resources. So we're moving forward now. We've got the idea to sort of how we're going to plan out the rest of our semester. There will be minutes that will be typed up once I am done with reviewing and everything else. So that will be coming out, and everyone can see what we talked about, the different things that we're looking to discuss. And hopefully at the next meeting, I will see a lot more people and our university. I'll keep everyone updated. If you're interested, come talk with me, and I'll let you know as soon as I can. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Lisa? Okay, I have a question. I'm sure there will be an impact. Did you have a question?
I did.
Yeah.
What do you think the next one's going to be, and what do you think the topic's going to be? I know the first thing was very broad and had great brainstorming. Did you want to narrow it down for the next meeting and invite different guests? I am going to look over again and see over what we talked about, what was really pertinent. Some of the things was education, and we're going to be definitely going forward with the educational video. So possibly, I think the next meeting will cover the aspect of education, maybe get someone from Gannett in there, from Psychological Services, someone else from University Communications, and we can talk about what is the most effective way to spread this message. Also orientation search for the individuals that will be there to talk about, you know, what do we want to see, what as students do we think, you know, will work in getting our message across. And hopefully, I mean, really, for the next meeting, if we could get more people there to help, because the more students that are there to talk about, you know, what would work, share their experience, I mean, it'll probably be another hour, hour and a half meeting, but it will be something that will be very helpful so that we can narrow down what we're looking for in the future. It'll probably be in the next week, 2 weeks and a half, week and a half area. I will send out an email at least a week in advance. But I have to talk with some of the definite community members that were there and seeing when they can come, and it also depends on everyone else's schedule. But I will let everyone know.
Great. And just to let you know, I'll tell you. Julie, the city clerk, who's obviously was very happy that we're kind of taking this on, you know, just wanted to be updated, I guess, as much as she can, and then she'll update the city, so I have that relationship there.
Sure, just to go off of that, there are some city meetings and other GORGE meetings that I will be attending coming up. I believe the next one is November 16th or 17th that I'll be attending. Julie was not necessarily invited to the first meeting, so I figured instead of having her, you know, come and waste her time, we can, as a committee, figure out where we can best utilize her and then invite her for the next meeting or the meeting after that, whatever you feel that she could best, you know, help us with. So she will be very active with us. I will send her the meeting, the minutes, as well as invite her to the next meeting.
Great. Perfect. Any other questions for ASA? All right, moving on, we have an environmental committee update by Representative Dykow.
So yesterday we had our first meeting, and we did not get the turnout we thought we would, and after the fact, I actually had, like, 100, not really, emails last night from everyone, like, it was bad night, people were sick, and we had to come through and whatever, so it still seems like there's a lot of interest, and we still have a couple people that were there, were really good people to be there. Mike Walsh actually was a team in, and he's really involved, so we talked about something with that. We have a resolution we're starting to work on about maybe having some kind of the way that governmental things and we're building that have our environmental platform. So when people apply for funding, especially for event capital, so it's really good for organizations, like only that really can issue. And we also came up with some other things that we might want to overlap with dining and some other things like that right here. So mostly we're still working on a good time for everyone, just because some of you weren't there yesterday. So emails will go out about that, and I'll probably just let all of you in on the time if anyone's going to see it or not. So, yeah, that's
great. Thank you. Any questions for Emily?
Yeah, any questions? Did you guys talk about Dim Ride and Big Red Bikes specifically?
They were mentioned yesterday, and there was definitely support for Dim Ride and Big Red Bikes. People there already knew about it, and Big Red Bikes is kind of like working on their proposal for it.
Great. I'm actually going to hand it over to Tony, who will give a bit of a Zimride update.
Thank you. With Zimride, we got in contact with John Zimmer, CEO of the company, and what he wanted us to know is that right now the Zimride Carpool application on Facebook for our network, he is giving us that service as a courtesy because it's a trial program, because he's an alumnus of Cornell. Usually that program would cost $3,500 per year. And right now we have over 2,000 Cornell users using it. However, we, you know, expressed concern about the transportation department's own ride board system, which is very underutilized. So I'm actually having a meeting tomorrow with Dean Hubble to discuss any further progress we'll make on Zimride.
Any questions? Brad, I'm going to moving on, we have a CIT committee update by Representative Hines.
Last week we had our first CIT meeting, and we started discussing issues maybe that we want to start to tackle this semester. Things that came up were using Moodle to replace Blackboard, just, you know, seeking feedback on that because some projects are using Moodle. Gmail replacing Webmail, wireless access around campus, and Video Note, which is a website that is currently sitting in here at school where you take a video of class and posted online and people can watch it and run it to attend lecture. So people may be interested in trying to get that in other schools other than the engineering school. So that was our meeting last week was on Wednesday, and not many people showed up because it conflicted with a lot of people. But I think now, meetings from now on are going to be on Tuesdays, so hopefully there will be more agreeable attendance. And next week on November 6th, Paul McClure is coming to the SA meeting again to talk about e-textbooks and whether or not universities should forward free settlement letters to students. So be prepared for that next week.
Great. Thank you. Ace, you got a question?
Yes. My question is just regarding the network usage of downloading illegal items, music, videos, whatever, so happy that students are using. Have we had any update on that, or is it possible that we can soon get that? Because each day, students, at least I know some of my constituents, I've alerted, and they're saying, oh, really, I did not know there was a change. So as soon as we can get that discussion rolling and have maybe a professional announcement in the newspaper about it.
You mean alerting students that it's illegal?
Yes, the downloading. Or that now they can forward things about our IP addresses, which wasn't happening last year.
Okay.
I think the point of a large point of next week for Polly to come is to explain all those new changes, because there have been a few changes. So we will all be entirely up to date on that, and then I guess we'll go from there, like you said, figuring out how we will educate the student body accordingly. So next week we will cover all the bases. Any other questions? All right, moving on, we have an SA newsletter update. We're all looking forward to this, by VP Junius and Vincent Andrews.
Okay, so the council meeting met last night, and it was actually extremely successful. We got a lot done, which was really exciting. One of the things we did was we looked at the most updated copy of the new SA newsletter, which should be in front of you right now, and obviously we want all the input we can get, just because, you know, that way it's on behalf of all of you, so we'd like all of you to approve it and look at it and make any changes, whether they be grammatical or by way of content. Basically, this is just, we wanted you guys to see the product, and review that. So just, it's before the end of the meeting, if you guys could just give it a once-over, make any notes, and then give it back to me or Vincent, and we'll make your changes. And the other thing we did, hopefully some of you saw this already, was we made an essay and Facebook group. That's how we're going to communicate to the public. Basically, I think it's called Student Assembly, Cornell Student Assembly Update, the official name. It's an open group. We want you all to join the group and invite all of your friends. Actually, the last time I checked, we had like 300 members or something in it, and we just made it last night. So it's already pretty successful. We're happy about that. And what was the last thing? Oh, and I met with Ari today, and we're working on having an open student assembly listserv for the community that people continue to sign up for, and we're also going to sign up all of our violent community groups as well, so we will have lots and lots of people on the listserv. So, so if you guys just look this over and then get it to me or Vincent by the end of the meeting, that would be awesome. Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, and so this is not a difficult one. If you have any major, I hate the idea of having, starting two articles on the first side, whatever. If you have any major problems with it.
Any questions, Mike?
On the back of the budget, there are three items.
I actually just quickly registered. I just copied directly what the budget was that we got. There's a new budget, so I'll probably just update it so that we don't have any problems. So the budget, this, what you see back here, is going to be changed to this, that graduation.
Right, this will be discussing on business of the day. Emily, and then Remy.
I just have a really quick suggestion. Instead of making this like an insert or like a piece of paper, maybe it would be more economical and more sustainable for you to like take out an ad in the sun, just so we're not wasting all this paper, like one sheet that might not even be read. That's just a suggestion, take it as you will, and I'm sure it would be like reformatting and all that, but I just think that might be a better idea.
Yeah, we're looking at a bunch of different ways of distributing this.
Yeah.
At this point, this is a little too much text to do an ad right now, but obviously we're going to play it by ear and see how successful it is. Obviously, we're not going to copy this, no one's looking at it. So, yeah, this is just kind of a trial run for the first one, but no, we appreciate your feedback. We're going to definitely be trying to be careful about that, so thanks.
Great. And just, I mean, I guess we can tell. Oh, Sammy.
Yeah, thanks for showing this to me earlier. I think it's great. It's going to be, I just wonder, how do we see the assembly members submit things to David? So what we're going to do is you submitted either to Nick Curie and or Nick Curie, and we're going to bring all the articles, all your summaries forward. Hopefully we'll have a lot of them to the communications committee, and the communications committee is going to vote and decide on which articles are going to go in to the bulletin or newsletter, whatever name we decide. And if we might ask you to make a really short summary of what we did, selected, it's purely based on how much input we have, how much room we have. But it's a communication.
I was just going to add, I know you had said something like an end of the semester report kind of thing. We're actually, I'm required to do an end of the semester report and then submit it to the president and to the Murphy's office, so we maybe coordinate on that and make it, kill two birds with one stone. Any other questions about the SA newsletter? Okay. Next we have an SAFC funding guidelines review meeting for 4.
Just so everybody knows, we wanted to let you know that on Fridays at 10:30 in B12 Day Hall, myself, Ryan, the co-chairs of SAFC, Terry Ector, Ari Epstein, are meeting to discuss, or Tony Miller, and Becca, sorry.
a lot of them.
I go through the email list in my head and sometimes I forget. Are going to go through and review the SAFC funding guidelines and kind of how the SAFC all fit together, what the different roles are, how we can improve the process. So we wanted to let you all know if you have any input. We're happy to hear from you. You're more than welcome to attend. And if you can't make that time, if you want to send us any information or any thoughts via email or submit some sort of paper copy or something like that, that's completely fine. We'll be happy to review your suggestions. And then what that group is going to do is come back and present some different options to the assembly for us to decide moving forward. And, yeah, that's Friday at 10:30 in B12 Day Hall. And what we're going to do this week is look at the kind of the mission, the vision for the SAFC, the Appropriations Committee and the SA, and how those all fit together. So.
And I just wanted to add, I mean, it's a good opportunity for members of the SA to be at a table, perhaps a less formal table with members of the SAFC and leaders from the SAFC, because they're obviously the experts on this subject, and so it's a good opportunity for us to coordinate and align our goals and learn everything about the process and then perhaps change it for the rest of it.
Every Friday.
At least for the rest of the semester, it might extend into next semester. Okay. Any questions about that? Last announcement, we have Dean of Faculty appointments update by Steve Miller.
So most of you got my email, and many of you actually responded to me, but I was contacted today by Susan Sutphen in the office of the Dean of Faculty, and there are a bunch of other committees whom she'd like to help out with. So check your email for that. There's committees on ROTC, academic freedom, lectures, things like, so just read the email, put the link. If you have anyone that you think might be a good candidate for, let me know. There are applications on the website. Just get back to me as soon as you can. Thank you.
Any questions? Go ahead.
The applications are on the SA website?
They're on the Assembly's website. It's technically the office, it's technically the Faculty Senate. But the Dean of Faculty. But it's on the same assembly.cornell.edu.
Questions? Any further announcements or reports?
I have one really quick question.
Yeah, sure.
So I know a couple weeks ago I said that we're thinking about having the climate action plan, like exchange ideas with leadership. So the date for that has been set, and it's going to be Saturday, November 15th, probably 10:30
Can you just update us again what exactly that is?
Yeah. So basically, they want to bring together students from all different walks of life in Cornell, people that do sports, people that are on essay, people that do singing groups, like everything, and see if everyone can think of any little thing to improve things for the next week overall. The president were in signing president signing committee. So the group that formerly run engineers and like all the things that the state cutbacks are trying to do. So part of one of the ways that cutbacks need to come is around like student lifetime and the energy that we use. So it's a way to get the students involved with these. So the faculty and engineers that are coming to help don't really know what students do, how we use it, how we need to cut back on things. So we're hoping that getting a lot of students there can say, like, you know, when we do this activity, this happens, maybe we can do this. And by talking to each other, maybe you'll realize something you do that you didn't know was bad enough. So change ideas to get things going and more on those things.
Great. So that's the climate action plan in a nutshell. Any questions? All right, last announcement, signing announcement.
Hey, just a real quick thing. Next Monday, the 3rd of November, the dining committee and the director of dining and the general manager for board operations it wants to host members of the dining committee and members of the student assembly for dinner in House 5, which is now known as Rose House, I guess. They're also doing a trayless initiative there where they don't have trays in the dining hall anymore. So we kind of wanted to check that out, get a feel for it, and also talk with them about different dining concerns. And I'm sure dinner will be provided. So that's going to be at 6 o'clock next Monday.
Any questions? All right, great. Moving on to business of the day. We have to finish up SAFC appeals from last week. SAFC, you can come on up and get yourself situated. We have two SAFC appeal groups left, which include Absolute Breakdance Club and COLA. Are there any representatives from Absolute Breakdance Club here? Okay, no. We will discuss this without, of course, the 5 minutes coming from the group, and we will vote. I do want to make one clarification. Well, really, it's just a reminder, not a clarification, but in our charter, if we do not, I want to remind everyone, it takes a majority to uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee, whatever it is, and then a two-thirds majority to disapprove and then come up with a new allocation for the group if that's the case. If we don't meet that, and at this point it would become the discretion of the chair, if we don't meet that, it would just divert back to the decision of the SAFC. That's how it's dictated in our charter. And if anyone has any, does anyone have any questions about that? I'll stop there.
Can the chair break or make a tie?
Yes, I can break or make a tie, if that's the case. So, we will go into Absolute Breakdance Club. Again, there are no representatives here. All right. Greg, it's all you.
Absolute Breakdance Club. You should all have the Absolute Breakdance Club SAFC appeal and rationale and the Appropriations Committee's decision rationale. The Appropriations Committee voted 8-1 that the SAFC did follow the guidelines and was correct in not funding this group at the request of $300. What the group was requesting was a new stereo system, and the reason that the SAFC did not fund their request was because they didn't have an on-campus storage location for the equipment, for the durable good that they were requesting. And they appealed on new information and said that they had gotten a locker in Bailey Hall, and after going through all the information and all the different guidelines and regulations, we felt that the locker in Bailey Hall was not managed or owned by the group. It was in someone else's name, so it did not meet the guidelines. And that's kind of that was the decision of the Appropriations Committee.
SAFC, 2 minutes.
Sure. So just to clarify, it is on page 36 of the SAFC guidelines that states that commission doesn't fund for any item which job is stored in an on-campus facility managed by the organization or its advisor. So originally they wanted to store off campus, so we did fund it, and then in the appeal they said they found storage of the French water, but it had nothing to do with the organization or their advisor. And it also didn't really qualify for the relationship.
Thank you. Again, there's no representative from the group, so they forfeit their right to their 2 minutes. The speaker's list is now open. First on the speaker's list is D.P. Basil.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as Varun and Greg just said, this is a pretty straightforward case. I was actually the dissenting vote on the Appropriations Committee, but I think in the sense that because the group is not present to argue their point, and it never really was a strong point to begin with, I guess I'll go ahead and call the question.
Call the question. This is a second. Yeah. Sir, is there any dissent? All right, could the clerk please call the roll? If you're voting yes, you're voting in favor of the Appropriations Committee to uphold the decision of the SAHC and against the group. If you're voting no, you're voting against the Appropriations Committee's decision to uphold SAHC, and you're voting for the group to discuss an email.
Yes.
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 Not for this vote.
What was it? 18-0-0, the decision of the Appropriations Committee is upheld. Moving on to our second group, COLA, Cornell Organization for Labor Action. Come on up. Welcome back. So let me just explain how we'll go from here on this. We will give the SAHC another, I'm going to give you another 5 minutes with the, I guess, understanding that you won't need it all. And then I'm going to give the group another 5 minutes, and then we're going to have VP Mezzi give the brief of the Appropriations Committee decision. So I'd ask if you would perhaps cover the main points again from last week. Everyone should have it still fresh enough in their minds. They have all the documentation in front of you. And then I will open up the speakers list, and we're starting with a new speakers list. I apologize for taking up so much of your time, but I guess we're just kind of trying to hammer everything out, but we're happy to have you back. So SAFC.
Sure. So just to recap what you reported last week, in the original budget application, you didn't have the budget submission or letter of intent from the speakers. And in the appeal, they provided a letter of intent, but they did not provide the correct proof of contact or proof that.
Oh, and would you mind, the three of you, state your name and year for the record? Thanks. Thank you.
So we decided to appeal because we were told that the reason we're not receiving funding last time was because we do not have proof of contact prior to the September 16 deadline. And Trump has actually noticed that there's an email with proof of contact before the September 16 deadline. We submitted information from the first submission paperwork. We included a declaration and letter of intent indicating that the reason we did not include the letter of intent previously was because we didn't see that about the organization that we were invited to, which we will be for potential economic events, was not in the office Monday or Tuesday. An organizer and an official wasn't helpful to be outside of the office. And the people who did not submit originally, at least submitted a room reservation after speaking. We realized it was a mistake. After speaking with the students during not the theory session, but the info session that we had after the September 16th deadline, and that was indicated that we did not, we were not accepting any money for the investigation or some of the contacts. especially if you're just going to set up you have to have money, or you have to reserve the room with money. So anyway, we decided then that it was necessary for us to submit the information and appeal, but during our last meeting, and it was talking to you, it's quite clear that we're very pursuant and trying to submit all of the paperwork on time. And in fact, after the deadline, we were able to reserve that room for $2,500, and we also made that email. And on top of that, we also, because we realized that we might run into problems in terms of funding, we took the proactive measure to sort of change the date from October 2nd to October 20th. Thursday really was ready to have the meeting up to that. The last appeal, but we received the email back saying that the reason why we did not receive funding is because we did not have a letter of intent. And from our side, at least, we didn't think it was a reasonable explanation because we did submit a proof of contact by the September deadline, which is why we decided to appeal. And I guess we'll have.
Thank you. Thank you. In the brief of the Appropriations Committee, Desi.
As you probably can all see from the SA or from the Appropriations Committee decision rationale, we felt that the SAFC did uphold the guidelines and were correct, and the vote was 8-2 with two abstentions. And we felt that the group did not follow the funding guidelines and failed to meet the requirements. Specifically, the group did not submit a room request for the original events that they were applying for funding for. They did, however, provide a letter of intent that would be considered new information, but they did not submit a proof of contact at the time of the SAFC appeal. So that, based on the information that we had during our meeting, that's what we went off of, and that was the decision that we made.
Thank you. At this point, the speaker's list is now open. Representative Brockman. Keep your hands up if I haven't spoken to you.
Well, I mean, I think it's clear that you guys are very distinguished from what you were doing. And, you know, the FSC did exactly what they're supposed to do. They have these big booklets and their rules and guidelines, and you're supposed to follow them. But then I also think that, you know, the meaning of these rules is to make sure that before we give you money, that you know where you're having the event, what happens if you're coming, and everything's in order before we give you money. And I think that, you know, that's the intent of the rules. And we as a group, you know, made the rules, or at least contributed at one point. I wasn't here, but. So I think that, you know, if we're going to go by the strict adherence of the rules and we're sitting inside the SAFC every time, there's no real point to having an appeals process whatsoever. But if we're going to go by what the intent is, if we're going to go by, you know, we're going to give you money if you have everything that we want to have, then I think it's fair that, you know, this is what we need to be overturned. I mean, if they have everything we would need to have them here. They made it clear that this is the season they need to do it, and that next term. And I think it's very easy for us to make this happen and let their event move forward. So I don't really see what the holdup is.
Thank you. DP Miller.
A couple of questions before I get to the SAFC. Before, I mean, the 16th, had you received a letter of intent, proof of contact, more room reservations?
Like the individual budget application?
And the appeal.
But in the appeal, we did not receive the criminal test. I think we know the party in the appeal to the appropriation committee.
But it was not given the SSP?
No.
Per your instruction?
Right,
and you instructed them to provide that in the original appeal, did you not?
I believe so. I think we have a rationale
for it. It is in the rationale and in the handbook as well?
It's definitely in the handbook.
Definitely in the handbook, great. Right. I have a question also to the SAFC about previous COLA, previous funding cycles involving COLA. Has COLA been funded in the past, at least in the most recent semester?
I don't know how much that's been used.
teaching for a very long time and haven't seen buses
from the SSA.
From the
SSA. So in the past, is it correct to assume that you followed the rules of the state?
Yes, and actually the reason why there was a special state was this semester was because we were working with the foreign education system to support funds for the event. And there was a mix-up in terms of trying to get the rules of the city, but the rule reservation. But again, that's not the reason why we decided to appeal to it. It's not the case at matter, or the case is now more supported. But also to go off of that, we did submit, I'm not sure, I think there's a discrepancy between both of us, we did submit a letter of a new contract prior to September 16th. You will know that there is a new contract that is made up of before the September 16th deadline. We did not submit a letter of intent, which is a little different. That's the actual documentation that says that we're going to give you this amount of money, and it's not a contract that's just another letter. And we did not submit that during the September 16th deadline because she was out of the office Monday and Tuesday prior to the deadline. And we explained that in the appeal as well. So I just to clarify, I hope there's any confusion.
I was confused because the email is dated 14 for proof of contact. Could you have not submitted that by the 16th deadline as the SASC asked?
And we did. I, that's the thing. Like, I'm not sure where
yeah.
There.
Yeah. Let's try to remedy that discrepancy. So SASC, you're saying that the proof of contact was not received by the 16th, and the group is. Can you provide more detail?
So we didn't receive any original
documentation. Only the procedural. Whether it's... Well, yeah, sorry, to make the question a little more general. Did you receive the proof of contact before the 16th?
It showed in the packet, like, obviously, guilty for paying. So it is there now, but we never received any
of the
SASC related or
wrong.
So,
no. Okay, so when did you receive it? That's my question, I guess. This would be my last clarification.
Yeah,
for
the
appropriate
same time.
So the SASC never received it in their capacity.
We don't need it for the SASC appeals. The letter that we received for the SASC appeals was a proof of contact dated the 25th of October. I mean, of September, excuse me. And we never received this particular email until the appeal to the SASC.
Point of information.
Right.
So when people are, when groups are handing in packets of information, are they handing it into the SASC, and then appeals go to appropriations, or the appeals go to SASC? So can someone just explain that? So, I mean, it seems like we have two different groups that are seeing the information, and somewhere it could have gotten lost.
Well, appeals go to SASC first, and then they go to appropriations. The SASC can make a decision first on the appeal, and Becca et al. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does that answer the question?
And then I guess the second point of information, so after the SASC appeal, do packets get changed? Well, then how, that's how I'm confused, well, how suddenly Harry Potter into the packet.
Yeah, here's, okay. When the group appealed to me, they said they appealed, and there was two sort of kind of like embedded things. Emails, something of, I couldn't open them on my computer, but I think when, because Terry Ector in the office, she takes the appeal, like the email chain and everything, and staples it to the packet and creates those appeal packets for us. So what I'm thinking is potentially that if they did attach it in a unique way of some sort, that's how it could have got in there. If they said, we're going to add these in there and send it in our appeal to the Appropriations Committee, that when she went to print out the email, it printed those. That's.
I'm going to ask one more question, and then there might be a discrepancy, but you're going to have to go from there. This is a hearing. How did you submit it to the SAC?
There was actually two remember now. So we submitted September 16th, proof of contract that was done prior to that. Upon realizing that we were going to have conflict with that, we decided to change the date, and then I went ahead and spoke with Ms. Mirelava to make sure that we were fine and we were going to change the date with her. So then I submit, that's the attachment that I sent to where, I believe, if you're looking at it now. And that one was, I guess, I'm not sure if it was considered proof of contact, but that was not the first time
we had contacted her, and that was just to make sure, like, just to let you guys know that we went ahead and changed the date, and everybody's okay with it, including Ms. Ngalaba, who is the main person in the event.
So I'm sorry to sound repetitive, and then I'm going to give it back over to your time. The original proof of contact that you're saying is before the deadline, before September 16th. Who is that sent to? How is it sent to the SFC? And then we'll go. Okay. So you have, everyone has both sides.
So I'll say it again. It concerns me that the SFC handles hundreds of groups. We do get their paperwork done clearly correct, and that this somehow slips the cracks. I have a lot of faith in the integrity of the office and the SAFC, so I'm very doubtful that it just slips through the cracks and it's an odd email. My last question is, has this event been rescheduled affirmatively so that if you were to receive any funds, would this event be able to go as planned?
So I've been in constant communication with Anne, she believes that they were scheduled to do it. And I think that we could potentially go on this event, but she said it's preferable to go ahead and choose a specific date. She said that there's a lot of availability for room 165 in the Girl Hall. So we're expecting that if we did want to go ahead and reschedule this event, then it would be easier. The reason why it has not been done is because we've rescheduled multiple times, and I just don't know if we're going to reserve a room and not have the money to do it.
Okay.
And then it's just the fact that we want to do this event, we just want to organize an event for that specific date that we could use.
I think I'm just going to use the remainder of my time to state my final point. COVID has been funded for many years, they say. They know the rules very clearly. The rules were not followed. The SAFC did not receive a room reservation, proof of contact, or a letter of intent by the deadline. This is a well-established group. They should know the rules.
Representative Stein.
We've dealt with other groups in similar situations this semester. Groups that have stuck the same story throughout the entire appeal, and groups that are asking for a lot less than $5,275.
Which group?
The first group we dealt with actually also had similar situations.
Yep. In the American Forum.
And I feel at this point we've all argued, we've made our different points, and people are actually changing their minds just because one of us says two. So I call the question.
I second that.
I'm gonna keep the speakers list open. I think we've come back the second week and we do have a lot more of the speakers list. But Representative Andrews.
Unlike Tony, I have a lot of faith in the group's work. Again, yeah, this does deal with hundreds of lines, a lot of paperwork. It does seem like it's a stubborn track. That nobody could be a fault. It happens in any type of organization. This group has, again, as Andrew was demonstrating, that, you know, what is the function of this assembly? This group deserves the money. There is a discrepancy in the SAC. Where do these papers go? There's a lot of confusion here. The group obviously demonstrates that they can hold and be responsible for this amount of money, hold the meeting, hold this event, and they deserve the money.
Representative Craig.
I would once again like to reiterate that I would have to disagree with Representative Miller. I agree that when we're talking here, no one is talking about not taking the system, no one is talking about distrusting the SAFC. We are talking about the SA making a decision on something, and that I believe is different. Something that we stated at the beginning of the year and even at the end of the year after elections was that we wanted to move towards a new assembly, a new something where people didn't have to come to the assembly and see a lot of bickering and fighting and all kinds of things about people caught up in rules and about the histories of Harry Truman or whatever have you about last year. So we said when we were talking about this that we wanted to build a new sort of representation to our student body, to the students that we serve, and represent an obvious look at the bulletin. This is an example of that. Look at the resolution regarding direct elections of the president. That's another example of that. We do not want to go back, you know, fully by terms and say, oh, just because it's ruled, we do not have the patience to analyze what we're doing for the president. students. Again, we are elected by the students.
Yes.
If you read our charter, if you read our membership, we're responsible for our students. We have students here that are sitting on a program with their clubs and their groups, and we're saying that, you know what, just because of something, again, there's a lot of shadiness. So I don't know how something got in there afterwards. It just seems like there is confusion. But what we need to analyze is, what are we going to do for our student body, and that's something that we need to take into effect. We are not bound by the words. The whole point of the skill process is for us to be able to discuss and then make our own decisions as a body to
do
what we feel is best. So again, I ask you to follow the spirit, not necessarily what you would call the letter of the law. In addition, if Tony is talking about the letter of the law, I'd like, hopefully maybe the SAFC can respond or have some sort of idea about if this was there, even if there was a mistake, if they submitted aftermath and it's in the package, then I don't understand why they're not available for that. The new rule that's in place, that's something that we can analyze. But in addition to which, before we can do that and decide what we want to give them, we have to just, you know, vote no, disapprove, and then we can talk funding,
time,
whatever punishment, if you feel there's
time, Representative Cusick. Oh, I'm sorry. I will give the SAC a minute to respond to that question.
Just a quick response. I was flipping through the facts. This is a budget that was first reviewed by three commissioners, three core commissioners during the budget hearings. It was then reviewed by the key board because the executive board reviews any budget over $25 million. And then during the next appeals process, this was reviewed by the commissioners who scoured through the budget, and then I personally looked through the budget myself and sent the appeals information. And if you're looking for this letter, if you look starting on the first stage of the appeals, it is here read by the SASC. And if you look underneath that, as it was from it's always the same email as the attachment that we're talking about that says 10 September 14th. So what the commission did was forward this email that dated September 14th to Greg Medley. So her initial email saying, "Dear Greg Medley in SLC, has this email in question underneath it in the email chain." So this email wasn't included in the budget packet. It looks like if you follow the email chain all the way down, that it's included within that email chain to Greg Medley requesting an asset appeal.
Representative Cusick.
Okay, I just have a question for COLA. I was on the Appropriations Committee, and I remember Marlene coming in and saying that having Ms. Brada has come in this semester was contingent on her bringing some workers, some migrant workers from New York.
Right. She's an organizer for farm workers in the UK there. And why did she bring her here this semester, because farm workers will continue to be in the area. Into the spring, it's a lot harder to bring individuals to join the EMS. And the reason why we did it, or we want that at least, is because we think of the dynamics of the conversation of what we're going to do if we don't have the workers in the world. And I mean, every time we speak about this, it sounds even within the organization, it's almost not like we're bringing in new people. I just want to make sure that we're not doing this, but we are hoping that we change the dynamic of the conversation. I understand that, I'm an ILR. But at this late spring semester, like, it's almost November, and I live in upstate New York, so I know migrant workers, farmland, all of that. But wouldn't it be kind of difficult, I know, like, if you haven't set a date yet for her to bring from migrant workers in? So we'll probably be within, if we still get approved by the rules, we'll move quickly, we will have hopefully something reserved spot in 2 weeks. Individuals are, if you know a little bit about migration, they have begun to migrate, however, and they haven't left entirely.
30 seconds.
And I know that she has contact with farmer workers, so it would be an issue.
All right. Oh, I yield my time to parliamentary of 30.
All right, 30 seconds. 30.
All right. I think the biggest thing for me, I kind of spoke contrary on the last meeting, but the biggest thing for me is that nothing, like, the case is very similar to the Asian American case, and you all have the documents for that, and I encourage you to look through that. It was a pretty clear vote against them, And so
that's
I
time. I'm going to give you one more minute.
Motion to extend.
I'm giving you one more minute.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So I think that in order to be consistent, we should look at that and how we voted on that. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Salem.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate a few points that, you know, have been talked about last week for those of you absolutely. First of all, they're asking for funding for an event which is open to the Cornell community and will definitely be to the benefit of everyone. And I want to say, like, you know, what kind of message is this sending for future groups? You know, it might be very discouraging saying, you know, it might be too difficult to even try to run an event, so why even do it? I think, you know, the reason we have an appeal process, like I actually mentioned before, is that we do look at this in a case-by-case basis. Now, Asian-American students, different from that, you know, they might not have stated their case well enough. These people, they have better things to do than to come here on a Thursday and talk to us, but they're making a commitment. They're sacrificing and they're coming and presenting their case. And true, there are hundreds of applications that come in, but wouldn't that, you know, make it more likely that there might be one that the student cracks or whatnot? Like I said before, you think they made a mistake, there's a discrepancy, whose side it was, you know, punish them for it, but you can't withhold full funding. You know, just take a 25% cut, take 30%. But why would you, you know, stop an event from happening completely because of one misletter, which they clearly do have now. I mean, have some understanding. Think of it like, you know, you're handing in a late paper or something. You think the professor won't take it or something yet? I mean, we have...
30 seconds.
That's why essay appeals are here, for us to delve in deeper and have some more understanding from it.
Point of information?
Yeah.
Is there an amount of funding that the group would find favorable other than $5,275? And if so, what is that?
That's not a point of information, but that's, I can put you on the speakers list for second speakers list or so, and I recommend you have your time to represent Stein for discussion and debate. VP Mezzi.
Just a couple of things. I spoke last week. I think it's important, you know, there's some, you know, did the group submit it to the SAFC, not receive it? You know, where is kind of the gray area? I think, you know, that's just kind of up in the air, and that's something that you all as humans have to decide. You know, I do think there is a process, and we should uphold it. And that's what I think, you know, the SA can add kind of the human element to some of these rigid guidelines. And I'm just going to yield the rest of my time to Stein, Representative Stein.
I'll give you 2 minutes.
Just quickly, yes or no, is there an amount of money that would be favorable to you of $5,275?
I'm also very uncomfortable giving a specific number because I would rather discuss this with the developer than the one who's giving the money. As of now, I can say that anything, we wouldn't take any deductions from that, but whatever you decide, I'm assuming you extract the money from the project process.
Then I will take that.
Thank
back.
You. You have similar events to this one in the past.
We've had similar events, but they've all been like double.
What would the average attendance for students' events be?
For the first one.
One is that teachers are not getting extra credit for attendance, too. Because I know with an ILR, that's a common practice.
Right, and I
mean,
when was the last one? I mean, I'm not entirely sure.
Can you give me a general number? Or no?
Actually, I don't know, anywhere between 50 to 60 people, or I think it could be a higher range between 40 to 70 people. I mean, I really don't know. but beyond that as well, the reason why it's also important to bring during the semester and be willing to discuss about deduction as we pull up is because this issue is more important now than ever. I
understand why this is a timely issue. This is the important question. Please do it back. Now, also, the room that you're reserving, how many seats are there in it? Is it a fixed number of seats? And do you honestly expect to fill 120 seats, or did you
30 seconds.
Fill the largest room? Did you just reserve a large room in case?
We expect to receive a lot of students, especially because right now,
it was not because of
the employees, which was the technical 10 seconds. However, there has been an immigration rate in Niagara, the county of Niagara, and that is very
And
thank you. So just to clarify, even though similar events have had 40 to 70 people, you expect?
I'll give it 30 more seconds.
Even though you said that usually, you know, 50, 60, 40 to 70, whatever number of people usually come to your events, you're expecting 120 at this very similar event?
I guess I think the problem right now is we're all talking past each other. You know, we have one half that's saying, you know, look at the message, look at the, you know, humanize it, and you have the other side who's, you know, saying look at the rules, and neither side is really talking to each other. And I think really to sort of put some facts back into the discussion, when you look at this issue, this is a group where their first contact with the speaker was on September 14th, 2 days before the deadline. For which the speaker responded with the October the 2nd as the date for the event. That date turned out to not be the correct date. It was changed. In addition, before the September 16th deadline, the group did not have a room reservation for either the October 2nd date nor any of the other dates that were being discussed. So this isn't an issue of the group missing one piece of information or, you know, not having an email in. I really feel like this is an issue where the group just did not have its act together in any way, shape, or form before the September 16th deadline. I'm all in favor of doing what's best for the students, supporting student programming and everything else in any way possible, but only so long as it comes from a group who demonstrated the ability and the foresight and the commitment and the dedication to put together an event of this magnitude where you're charging $100 a head to bring a speaker, which is an exorbitant amount of money to bring a speaker.
30 seconds.
So I really think that the point of the student assembly and an appeal of this nature is to grant clemency for SAFC rules that do not make sense. Last year we heard an appeal where a group, one of the SAFC rules is that a group has to be 50% undergraduate. There was a group that had 49.9997% undergraduates. They were denied funding. We looked at that rule. We said that is ridiculous. That is an issue where the rules were acting against the students. This is not an issue where the rules are acting against the club. This is an issue where the club had a demonstrated lack of preparedness to prepare this event.
I'm about to move on to the second speaker's list, unless there's someone that hasn't spoken the first that wants to. Oh, yes, Representative Liaison McDermott. Director McDermott, what the hell you are.
Director Bozo. Thank you.
one thing I actually feel is acting consistent with your other actions. And I know you want to have your stuff together at this point, but in reality, you actually don't have set pages to present yourself. And you need to look at the fact that we don't fund any group if we don't have new information at the time of the budget hearing, or if they don't have some sort of new information before that or something like that. And that is something really important to get into the community. Tell the group that we need to fund them correctly and they're doing this for a reason. They're putting in their hard work to plan it that.
10 seconds. I'm about to move on to the second speakers list. This is one that just spoke. All right. Representative Craig.
I'd just like to go back and respond to a couple of things that we were talking about. I believe the group did say that they have been in contact with individuals before the September 14th deadline, so I think we should all listen to that and we should not.
16th.
Before the September 14th email and the September 16th deadline. And additionally, the 16th is the deadline, the 14th is not the deadline. So regardless of if they did it September 15th or September 16th, they were thinking about it before the deadline in addition to that. So that's something else. We are also not bound by precedent, something else that we should remember. So that we do have the ability to make decisions as we want to on a case-by-case basis. Looking back, I don't actually, because we didn't see the group, I did not bring all my notes from the Asian American Forum since they weren't going to be here today. If I remember correctly, there's a little bit something different about that case. So I think we should not necessarily immediately assume, oh, we scored it that way before and again, it's precedent, and we won't do that again. Additionally, I would like to ask SASD if the group submitted an email afterwards or so forth, if there's now proof that there is an email that was beforehand and maybe it's not going to the initial package, maybe it did, how come they weren't considered for the 75% funding or the 25% reduction?
So for the Spartans, if you're concerned, that would be considered for 25% reduction, but if you still have nothing for the room reservation, that was turned in at all. I mean, that showed that it was made before September 16th, but the that would not be funded regardless. And there's two issues just to clarify on this. The speaker, which was like the letter intent, and now we don't show up that time because for September 16th and room reservation issue, we still have nothing on room reservation.
And I believe those, if I remember correctly from last week when the group was talking about why there wasn't a specific date, it was because they chose initially the 2nd, but then when they realized that they may not get funding, they had to move it to the 16th, and then that's when the email went to the 16th. But as we know, we are, let's look at my phone. It's now the 30th, so that's way beyond. So the reason that they do not necessarily have a secure date is because they're not sure if they're going to get funding.
There was no secure date.
Isn't that because the email was not there?
But the email that they submitted for room reservation is not included information. They made the room reservation after the budget hearing, except for their first room reservation.
That's time.
And we can't fund the speaker unless we have.
The next person on the speaker list is Representative Stein.
I want to point out, I'm hearing a lot of the group said the group thinks. We are responsible for the students' money. We're responsible to look at the facts, look at the evidence, and if there were one instance of the group things, it would be one thing. There seems to be several. Second of all, let's all think of, you know, where this money comes from. It comes from the student activity fee. I don't think anyone wants to see that go up any further than it currently has. I yield the rest of my time to the Miller.
Thank you.
Hey, so, Representative Craig, I concede to your point that we should give the students time to sit down. You'll talk about the spirit of the SA. We are taking two meetings now to discuss these SASD appeals. We're going to be talking about things such as your wonderful board safety initiative, such as Emily's wonderful environmental initiative, but instead we're going round and round and round in circles that doesn't make sense and very bothersome. We take up the time to pull it, taking up the wonderful people we have on the SASD. We're taking up way too much time doing this. The facts are very simple, as VP Basil pointed out. Your points were very strong. This group just didn't have their act together. Also, this money doesn't disappear. It's not money that, you know, I can't do a good staff. It doesn't just go over nowhere. This is money that gets to help other groups next time around. If SASD does have a surplus, it's money that will help groups that do play by the rules, that do the right thing,
And also, I want to address this with the message we're sending. We sent the right message with the American Institute of Chemical Engineers, and we said, you know what, we got your letter from Mike Duncan afterwards. Go on your trip. We're gonna do that. That's a little mistake. We sent Tash the right message, and we said, well, you know, I'd say if we put you on the low end of the spectrum, 30 to 40, we'll give you 47. That makes sense. We helped out the Big Red Bears, and they said their uniform hasn't been cleaned in at all this semester. That's pretty disgusting. We did the right thing. We're sending plenty of the right messages this semester, but I think we'd be sending the wrong message to fully fund COLA.
Next on the speaker's list is VP Miller.
I yield my time to the chair.
Representative Salem.
Can you, Nicola, can you please explain why you want to use
the budget? The original budget of the regional paper was we would not request any movement predictions because we're not asking for the movement funded. And that was a discrepancy from the previous, from the special education. But you will also notice that we took the
just answer her question. Was so that was yes?
If it is an area that would affect the entire event.
So theoretically, an application could have multiple errors, but you would stop at the first one. And that would be a reason for not funding, even if there are many errors.
Yes.
Okay.
Another point of information. You said if there's no room reservation, you stop reading. But as we see here with this rationale, they obviously kept reading because there's no mention in this rationale of a room.
No, you stop reading that particular priority. If this one particular priority cannot be funded just because it doesn't have a room reservation, you cannot fund any part of an event if it doesn't have a room reservation. So you go on with that priority.
So it's specific to the room reservation. Moving on. VP Basil.
I'd like to call a question.
Second.
Second.
It's been called a question. The second is 90%. All right. For the clerk calls roll, I'm going to give a minute to the group and to the to SFC. We'll, no, no.
Before I do that, I'm just going to explain the vote, and then I'll allow for closing arguments. You're voting yes. You're voting to approve the decision of the Appropriations Committee, which upholds SHC's decision, which is against the group. Zero funding. If you vote no, you're disapproving Appropriations Committee's decision, and you're going against SHC, and it's for the group, of which we will open up discussion for the new allocation amount. Are there any questions about that?
Question.
Yes.
Abstain is
right. Neither for nor against.
Point of information.
Point of information.
If an abstention is cast, that does count towards the number for majority and two-thirds, though, correct?
No. No, it's removed.
Yes. For the denominator?
Denominator.
Yes.
It's removed.
It's in the charter, it's those members in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. No, it's not removed.
Parliamentarian, can you verify this? So the question is, if someone abstains, does that person still count towards the number needed for majority and two-thirds?
I don't.
Yeah, of course it did.
Yeah, of course it does. Yes.
There's actually no doubt in my mind.
He's still here. He's still present in the room.
Yeah, it's in the chart. It's
not voting.
SA members present.
Yeah,
it's not.
Four.
Hold on. Hold. You need to get the gavel? It's SA members present in the room, as opposed to SA members. So he's in the room. So yes. Yes. No, it's fine.
Does the vote of yes preclude the possibility of partial funding for the event?
If you vote, when you're voting yes, you're voting to uphold appropriations, which will give the which will uphold SSC, which gives them no funding. Period.
Point of information.
Yes.
Is there a specific way that the student assembly would go about proposing other numbers since the group has said they themselves can't say any other number would be useful other than 275?
What?
We'll come to that if we have to.
Yeah, if that we have right now, guys, we're looking to uphold or disapprove the decision of appropriations.
Well, no,
that really shouldn't affect that decision at that point. You're looking at the virtues of this vote, and then if it goes into two-thirds disapproves, then we go into discussion about that.
Okay.
Last point of information, because
really,
then we have a point of order issue.
I really don't mean to be stickler, but the Cornell parliamentary procedure is a society or whatever, and they said, say there were 50 members of the student assembly in the room, 40 of the thing, if 7 vote yes, 3 vote no, that's still the majority. That's what I believe.
We're going by our charter. Hold on. Our charter supersedes anything. Yes, we follow Robert's Rules of Order, but our charter supersedes it all. We follow Robert's Rules of Order unless noted in the charter.
Right.
SFC.
Double check.
Yes.
I mean, it is a vote cast. Majority of votes cast, or two-thirds of votes cast.
No, I asked you to look at the charter. Our charter supersedes the book.
I don't think it explicitly says. Or is it specific to SFC?
No,
it's specific to voting.
Voting.
While we're doing it, this really shouldn't affect people's decisions, so I'm going to go through the 30 seconds for the group, and then for SFC, and then the group. So, SFC, 30 seconds.
Can you speak into the mic?
Thank you. Just a moment. Yeah.
So, we're going further. Again, I'm going to reiterate. In Robert's Rules of Order and in our charter, it's vote casted, and abstention is a vote casted. It's this is how we voted. It's You need a majority of SA members in the room to approve. You need a two-thirds majority of SA members of the room to disapprove. That's what I'm going with. Will the clerk please?
I don't make any decisions.
Well, but is that so? You just told me.
Vote cast.
Okay.
An abstention counts as a vote.
It's a vote. Rami, Robert's Rules of Order are secondary.
Guys, this is what I'm going with. I've explained it. I'll give you a last opportunity for a point of information. I know we're a new assembly, but we got maybe perhaps a little quick on our feet. All right. Will the clerk please call the roll?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Pass.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes, I do. No.
No proxy.
No proxy.
Abstention.
No.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
She didn't cast a proxy of any sort. She did not cast a proxy vote.
She's not counted as the number of people in the room.
Kumar votes no. Yao. Yao votes proxy yes.
No,
she did not.
20 in the room.
20 votes cast. By vote of 11-7-2, we just have majority to uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee, which gives COLA no funding. COLA, thank you for coming. Thank you, SAFC. We are officially done with SAFC appeals for the fall semester. Moving on to our second item on business of the day, final student assembly budget presentation by BP Mezzi.
Good form. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we. That's real.
They're probably the worst in the region.
I know. I'm gonna
put that on the mic. It's all yours.
Yeah, you have 5 minutes.
All right. So here is the student assembly budget for fall 2008, spring 2009. I'll walk you through this as it's kind of laid out. This budget is meant to be a working budget sheet for that 27 credits that are running total column and total budgeted. The beginning year, I'll just kind of take it back and give it the tax history. Beginning year 2008, that was the opening balance for the year. And then the revenue, which is the bylaw funded portion that's given, and then the expenses, and then you can see the balance that we have remaining. The balance from last year then becomes our opening balance for this year. And then we have our revenue, which is what we get from the student activity fee. And then if you go down through the duo code and the department needs only code, that is how we assign costs and help keep track of where things are coming from and where to pull that money from. So the first one is general. I haven't gotten the accurate information on tax expenses for copies and administrative costs from the office, but for every year tax I have information for, we were around about we get into communications and the advertising dollars there, Facebook ads, on ads, any sort of unique marketing materials, and that new promotions and initiatives is aligned with where, based on what we thought, you know, we needed the table banner so that we look more professional, or if it's anything to help kind of promote and get the word out about the assembly in the UK, we'll come out of there. In the meeting, each committee has assigned a certain amount of money to help facilitate anything that they need, any work that they need, copying, food, if they need a clerk to come to the meeting for some reason, if they're drafting policies and procedures, and they want to help people check in. The appropriations committee, copies and administrative supplies, we do have a large number of printing in there, and that's where the costs come from. And then meetings, there's several long, lengthy meetings that happen in the appropriations committee. So some of that is for food, and then also you pay a large amount because it's such a fast case, back and forth on an assembly style meeting that we felt that's Ivy Council, Alex submitted a budget to me for Ivy Council, and how much it costs, and how much he projects that the other two Ivy Council events will cost. Moving down then to the next meeting, originally my budget packet, or my working budget, preliminary budget, I submitted a much higher number for committees to work off of. I decided to reduce that based on what committee chair said that they might need in their committee and bring more of that special project and promotion, which isn't a specifically earmarked pool, but can allow other committees to have new and exciting initiatives in time they feel is appropriate to pull from. So, and then the two committees that are listed at 100, those are ones that have not been enacted, and just kind of wanted to put that out there as kind of a temporary basis. If they do become active, there is some funds for them there. If not, we can roll that back in somewhere else. The student clerk, that goes to pay their salary. That's information that we've compiled, the number of hours they work, different rates that they're at, and how much time they spend doing work for us. Fall election, you can advertise in candidates for an elections committee meeting. The meeting stands for clerk supplies, food, candidates for food, any room reservations or fee that we might require, and then advertising dollars. Same goes for the spring election. The spring election advertising was increased because of the new way that we're going to be electing the president and executive vice president. Felt that there needed to be some increased promotion, some unique promotions, so that's where that one comes from. Then the FASC's budget was actually reduced by about $1,000 after reviewing what they spent historically and how their spending patterns have taken place. We felt that it was necessary to reduce the amount of food that they were purchasing in meetings. We consolidated some of the costs, and
give a minute.
That's where you see those items. Then what we did was we took the total amount that we had, the total amount that was budgeted, and that's what gives us our leftover special project pool. That pool is something that if assembly member or community member has a special initiative that they feel the student assembly should fund and is in the best interest of everyone, they can submit kind of a proposal to the appropriations committee. The appropriations committee will review it, submit a decision to the assembly, and then the assembly can give the final approval to fund this special initiative in that regard. So that kind of brings us to
thank you. Speaker's list now open. Representative Stein.
I think this looks absolutely great. It's wonderful that we have such a clear breakdown. But I was under the impression that the Women's Issues Committee had traditionally been inactive.
And Jeff.
What?
And Jeff.
Well, John is funded a lower rate of
Women's Issues. Okay, Stein is the floor, so let's let her.
Funded at a higher rate.
There were people who took that on.
It's not an
issue. Right. I'm just going to make a point of information to myself. It's not enacted this year. It has been. Not this year.
Oh, okay. I was just here. Do we have a chair now?
I'm the acting chair.
All right.
Next. Representative Andrews.
Is it what we've spent so far? No, it is not.
Pete, sorry, can you speak to the microphone?
Yeah, sorry. Are you, when you submitted the budget, are you going to say how much is left over, or how?
Yeah, it'll be a running total. Once the budget is approved, we flag and assign costs to specific areas that have already been spent, and then that's how we'll surface that way. I'll submit that. And then we're also talking about posting it somewhere online so that assembly members can have access to it and view it at any time.
Yeah, sure. Next is, actually, while we're on it, did you want to address, I mean, kind of address that question, maybe others, did you want to address the working spreadsheet thing?
Yeah, so basically what I wanted to do was...
I want to pay attention to this, Keith.
Take this as a starting point, and then online, through a number of different options that we're exploring. If you log on with the Kerberos or some password or something that includes that, and you'd be able to see the read-only kind of system, and you'd be able to see what's being allocated as a cost or lesson for, what's hit the account, what it allocated, what we have outstanding, and it's just everything in real time so that you can all see it at any point and say, what is it for, what is that for, and where are we going. So I think that's something that
any questions about that? Well, speaking next in the speaker's list is Basil.
So for ASA's Gorge Safety Committee and for me on the Academic Integrity Committee, if we at some point want funding for whatever we're doing, that would come out of special projects? Okay. Asa, yield?
Yeah, yielded.
I guess my question to me is basically the same thing, but committees that aren't necessarily utilizing this $200, that can all, is it possible to, that?
Yeah, if we look, and we say halfway, if we say at the end of the semester that a committee hasn't used any money, then we can just pay half that money, which we would, and have to split in half, and you can put that towards
what we need to do.
More to the bottom line, more, and then that's just a function of just readjusting the budget at the midterm.
That's fine.
McDermott. Remy.
Yeah, so what's the point of giving the elected committees any money at all?
The point is to have something, a small amount allocated, so that if someone says, hey, we should be active with this, we can go with this.
But if they're not used, they fall into the pot. If those aren't used, they fall back into the pot.
If they're not used, they fall back into the pot. So if halfway through the semester they don't fall through, we'll look at what the committee has to spend and say, okay, you haven't spent $200, we're going to take 100, we're
going to
put it back
towards
special projects or into another committee based on what we feel is
appropriate. Representative Sandoval.
Okay,
I think a couple of things that you necessarily have to the very budget. I thought that was great. And I noticed on that budget that it was funding for sure. I guess I was on my way to funding some of the
that's something that we have to talk to the committee of the Open Space Environmental Board, but if the communications committee felt that was an appropriate use of their community promotions and initiatives, you know, it's kind of like blogging and advertising that have a property, but, you know, the chief committee can say, out of my initiative for this project, we can allocate, you know, 200, 300, 100, whatever it may be, to shirts. In the FSC portion of the shirt, that is something that they provide new commissioners with each year because they have a number of hearings and sessions and health sessions, and they want to have a way to be easily identified and look professional and kind of create that structure. So that's where the shirt
we talked about this.
I know.
Representative Dietel.
I just signed up for the project also, and I'm wondering if there's like a formal process or how do you wish to
that? With special projects, you would submit a kind of what you detailed project, what the funds are, what the expenses would be, how the project would be sustained. That would be submitted to the appropriations committee. The appropriations committee would meet with, you know, ask questions.
Representative Rotella.
Okay, just a little more on to what Asa was saying about getting more money from the groups that don't have, that aren't as active. But anyway, I just wanted to say that the Aggie Leadership Summit probably not going to be $4,500. That was a really high estimate because last year we had a chartered bus. So we're going to plan on chartering a bus again, but hoping to get some money from ILR and some of the other colleges. So obviously, hopefully,
BP Miller.
Message was great. Basically, bottom line, if you need more money, there's special projects. If you need to pull something from a group that isn't active, you just have Message to do it. He has a pretty good brain on it. That's called a question.
Second. In a second. Is there any dissent? All right. Thank you, BP Message. Will the clerk please call a roll? We need a simple majority to approve the budget.
Yes.
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 Not present.
Yes.
Not present.
Yes.
Miller.
Miller, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
14-01. Budget passes. Thank you, Mezzi. Wonderful. We're moving on to unfinished business, student assembly absentee policy.
Go get him, Peggy.
What's that? It's not 6:30 yet. Can you extend time? I will adjourn at 6:30.
If you were talking about for the PNC resolution, we can't vote on it today anyway. Actually, no, we could. Never mind. Bye.
There's been a point of information. We don't have two-thirds of the assembly here. We need two-thirds of the assembly here to make a charter change, which is what Ace was going to say. There's been a motion at the table. There's a second.
Second.
There's a second. There's any dissent? Oh, right. Table. Thanks, sir.
Never heard, Tony.
On to new business. Resolution 12, the President and Treasurer's SASC handbook test. Representative Smith.
Good.
First on the speakers list, VP Mezzi.
I absolutely think this resolution is wonderful. I think it's definitely present in treasurer's test is something that I think would clarify a lot of questions that we have during SAC appeals, and it's a very confusing process for the group and for the SAC, and then for us to interpret how confused they are and still be confused on our own. What I just said was confusing. So I think it just goes to show how confusing the whole process really is and how that we need to really have a good grasp if we're going to be the one that interprets the spirit of different rules and different guidelines and different practices. We really need to be as educated as possible as we can. You know, I know that this didn't go through in the past, but I think that this is something that needs to be moved forward with, and this is something that would expedite the process because we would have a better grasp. You know, I know walking into this position personally, there's a lot of stuff to know. You know, I don't know it all myself. I'm still learning, and I think, you know, for somebody who's not interacting with this all the time, that it's incredibly valuable to have to sit down, take the time, learn it, and understand it so we can represent the SA in the best way possible.
VP Miller.
It's at least the chairman, I'd like to move this to business of the day. Not a charter change. This is actually a bylaw change. It only requires a majority of the voting members so that we could vote on this. It pleases the chair.
Is there any dissent?
Wait, dissent because it finally resolved that it's a charter.
No. It's already clarified. Okay. No, it's not. Be it finally resolved, that's just, I mean, any resolution can have that text. I don't know if that's
what it says that the following addition be placed in
the bylaws are part of the charter. Guys, if you wouldn't mind, please let the chair respond to inquiries. It's a bylaw change. Our charter consists of components of our charter and then bylaws. We don't have to – bylaws we can vote on the first meeting. This is a bylaw. We did double-check with Ari. We just double-checked again. We can vote on it today if we would like.
I wanted to say too.
Explain 30 seconds. Okay.
So, I mean, I do think this is a good idea, and this is something that will help us. We feel since we're not necessarily having SARC funding next week, it may be more beneficial to have all students here or all representatives here so that they understand and they can hear exactly the meaning behind it and what will be the punishment if someone doesn't do it. So I just think it'd be beneficial if we could have this today, then cover it next week.
It's 6:27, so I'm just going to not recognize the motion, and we'll leave it on new business. We'll discuss it as business of the day next week. Next on the speaker's list, Representative Dyke. Yeah.
Retreat?
Oh,
it's a possibility. I think this resolution, though, that can be worked out, the logistics of taking it. This resolution, I think, just requires everyone to take it. It is an online test, so everyone does have to, complete the test online, so it might be more efficient in an individual manner, but we can discuss that.
Representative Craig.
I guess my question is, I know then you have to get, since this is a test, you have to get certain things right. If you don't pass it the first time, does that mean that we're charged with absence, or do we have a limited time to at least pass it?
Correct me if I'm wrong, you can't fail this test. It doesn't let you proceed to the next question without you answering it correctly. Is that correct?
That's
very collaborative. Representative Hines.
I think mostly the reasons why things are appealing is, I mean, maybe this is an exception, but because there's some extenuating circumstances. And when it comes to following the rules, I mean, it's pretty clear somebody from the FASD can just say, this rule is common. And, like, I mean, I'm not familiar with all the rules, but I will take that to be true. Because the FASD is familiar with the rules. So I don't really think that it's necessary for the entire assembly to know every single rule, because it's usually not coming down to the assembly has to decide whether or not a committee is following it. It's just the assembly is to hear other extenuating things that, you know, might be exceptions. So if one of them is with regard to a certain, you know, rule, then maybe we can just hear a single rule. But I don't think we have to know all the rules, because, I mean, there is a committee that's made to say,
thank you. Actually, according to Verizon, it's 6:30, so we're adjourning. Meeting's adjourned. One quick announcement, guys, I just definitely listen up quickly. I know today was a lot of SAFC appeals, a lot of perhaps internal issues. I sent that really, really large email over the SA listserv with all of those issues that were brought up thus far. Hold on, listen really quickly. Please make sure you're working on your initiatives and your issues. That's really what's most important for the student body. We have to do this internal stuff, but we also need to make sure we're all progressing on our issues. And that, you know, they're assigned to you, so get on it.
Oh, who the hell cares?
Vince, what's that?
I just gave Nick a direction.
If you leave paper here, they take it and recycle it.
No.
Recycle.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.